Yehuda, what in the world are you doing? You'll punch a hole in that shield.
I'm almost done. Wait a second. There, read it, Shimon.
Maccabee.
Right. It means, who is like unto you, O God?
Everyone around you is sharpening his sword for battle, and you're busy carving slogans in your shield. Oh, you're such a dreamer, Yehuda.
Shimon, look toward those mountains. What do you see?
Mountains.
Those are the Judean mountains, my brother, and in them lies Jerusalem, filled with Greek and Syrian troops. One day I'm going to enter Jerusalem and take it back. And when I do, I want the enemy to see who they fight against God's people, against the Maccabees.
You and me and our brothers against 200 battalions of the mighty Greek Empire? You really believe we have a chance, don't you?
Absolutely. What do I care how many soldiers King Antiochus has? God is on our side. Whatever happened to faith? The trouble with you is that you think too much.
And the trouble with you, Yehuda, is...
Yes?
Well, the trouble with you is that you've got me believing your crazy dreams.
That's because you're a Maccabee.
Miracle of the Maccabees. The story of the festival of Hanukkah. Let us return to the time more than 2,000 years ago when the Second Temple stood in Jerusalem. The people of Israel have entered a difficult period under the growing influence of the Greek Empire.
Let's stop fooling ourselves. The only way to avoid Greek oppression is to become Greeks ourselves.
Joshua, what do you mean become Greeks? We're Jews. We're the chosen people.
Listen to him, the chosen people. I say we should start doing the choosing, and I choose to be like them.
You would actually give up the ways of the Torah?
What do we need with the Torah? The Greeks have art and philosophy and science. They're the wave of the future. The Greek civilization will be flourishing long after the Jewish nation is forgotten.
But Joshua...
And don't call me Joshua. From now on, my name is Jason.
Oh, great Antiochus, a delegation of Jews has arrived from Jerusalem.
Jews? What do I want to see Jews for? I've seen Jews. Put them in chains or something.
But, Your Majesty, they come to pay tribute.
Their tribute you don't put in chains. Them you put in chains.
But, Your Majesty...
All right. You've talked me into it. Send them in.
Yes, Your Majesty.
King Antiochus, ruler of the Greek-Syrian Empire, he called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, meaning beloved of the gods. But his own people called him Antiochus Epimenes, the madman.
So, it's peace you want, eh, Jew?
Peace and friendship, Your Majesty. We desire only to be loyal citizens of your glorious empire.
Then here are my terms. You will build a sports arena next to your temple in Jerusalem, and there your people will compete in games in the name of the gods of Olympus. And you will abandon this so-called covenant with this so-called God of Israel. Henceforth, you will follow only our laws.
Then your majesty will grant our people peace?
You have my word on it.
It began with a sports arena where Jewish athletes ran naked in the manner of the Greek Olympiad. Soon the nation commanded by God to be a holy people had sunk to the depths of Greek idolatry and immorality. The Jews did not understand Antiochus at first. He appeared a fool, but was determined to wear away the fiber of Jewish spirit. The ultimate degradation came when the Greek governor Nicanor erected an idol in the holy temple and sacrificed swine to the pagan deities on the altar of the God of Israel.
No!
The high priest Yohanan, witnessing the abominations, was seized with rage. He came to the chambers of the Temple Mount, where the governor Nicanor had taken up residence, and knocked upon the gates.
The high priest wishes to appear before the governor, Nicanor.
Bid him enter.
Nicanor, on behalf of my people, I must protest the desecration of our temple.
You have the nerve to barge in here and protest. This is rebellion. Out of my sight.
My lord, if you would just listen to reason.
No, you listen. And listen well. We have nothing to speak about until you accept the laws of King Antiochus.
Whatever you demand, governor, I will obey.
Then take a swine and sacrifice it, and bring its blood into the holy court of your temple. Do this, and you will be counted as one of the loyal servants of the king. Refuse, you will die.
Governor, I cannot speak freely here, for I fear the wrath of the Jews. If anyone should hear that I have agreed to such a thing, they would stone me. Please, we must speak in complete privacy.
Guards, clear the hall, and leave me with this man. Now, what have you to say to me?
My God, and God of my fathers, do not hand me over to this heathen.
Well?
Strengthen my hand to avenge the evil he has done, for he has desecrated your holy name.
So? What is your answer?
I am going to spill the blood of a swine, my lord.
When?
Now!
No!
He's dead. Now, got to pick him up and hurl his body over this railing into the courtyard for all to see. Oh, Lord, my God, do not count it a sin that I killed this heathen in your holy sanctuary. Let him be a warning to all those who would persecute your people.
My precious Nicanor, my trusted servant slain?
Yes, your majesty.
And I will wage a reign of terror upon their land, such as was never seen before. My armies will strip the temple of its gold. We will take their golden altar and the gold candelabra they call the menorah. Now the blood of Jews will flow like a river in Jerusalem. Any Jew found circumcising his son will be put to the sword along with the child. No longer may they celebrate their festivals and Sabbaths. Those who follow the Torah of this so-called God of Israel follow it to their death.
Antiochus's decree struck at the very essence of Jewish faith. He permitted the Jews to study the Torah as a rational teaching or ethical code, but refused to allow them to observe its commandments to show their faith in God.
Bereshis bara Elokim.
Bereshis bara Elokim.
Eis hashamayim v'eis ha'aretz.
Eis hashamayim v'eis ha'aretz.
In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
V'ha'aretz ha'yisosohu v'vohu.
V'ha'aretz ha'yisosohu v'vohu.
Seize that scroll and burn it.
No, it's ours!
Your Majesty, we have captured and brought the Jewish sage as you requested.
Ah, Rabbi Elazar, how kind of you to favor us with your presence.
What is it you want with me?
Rabbi, why so unfriendly? I brought you here to have lunch. Guards, bring the good rabbi his lunch.
I won't eat it. I know what it is. It's pig.
You will eat it, Rabbi, and in front of all these people.
Please, don't ask me to defile my soul by eating foods forbidden by the Torah.
All you need do is lift it to your lips and appear to be eating it. I want you to be an example to your people.
I refuse.
Eat it.
I will not transgress the commandments of God.
Captain!
Yes, your majesty.
Strangle him!
Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad.
Antiochus did not foresee that his maniacal attempt to eradicate the Jewish religion would have just the opposite result. Those who were apathetic to the Torah in times of freedom and comfort became strengthened in their faith when threatened by religious persecution.
One decree above all others you must be certain to enforce. These Jews must not circumcise their sons.
Blessed art thou, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to enter this child into the covenant of our father Abraham.
Fear not, my little one. Now you are about to sanctify the name of God.
In the ultimate spirit of self-sacrifice, daughters of Israel defied the king's decree, circumcised their sons, and with their babies, hurled themselves from the walls of Jerusalem rather than submit to the Greek oppressor.
As God eternal, so is his Torah eternal, so are his people eternal.
Despite heroic displays of martyrdom, the people of Israel were sunk in despair. Brides and bridegrooms under the wedding canopy stood in sorrow. The house of Jacob was clothed with shame. Antiochus ordered his troops to visit every Jewish town and erect altars to the heathen gods, and forced the Jews to bow down to idols. Whoever refused was put to death without mercy. In the village of Modin, half a day's journey from Jerusalem, lived the priestly family of the Hashmonai, Matisyahu and his five sons.
I don't know, Shimon, I think you're wasting your time, but if you want to put on sackcloth and ashes and sit on the floor like father, go ahead.
What would you rather do, attack the Greek army?
With everything we've got. Sackcloth and ashes never won a war.
What are you talking about? Didn't you ever hear of Mordecai and Esther?
Of course I did.
Well, then you know that when Haman wanted to annihilate the Jews, Mordecai sat in sackcloth and wept, and the people were moved to turn to God. A great miracle saved us there.
Yehuda, your brother is right.
Father.
You're too quick with the sword, my son. We've got to learn from the past.
Meaning no disrespect, Father, but things were different with Mordecai and Esther.
How?
Haman only wanted to destroy our bodies. The Greeks want to destroy our souls.
Father, come quick.
The king's officers have come to Modin and have summoned the people to the public square. They're building an idol for us to worship.
Oh, why was I born to see the destruction of my people? Our sacred Torah traditions laid to waste. Now I will take off my sackcloth. It's not a time for mourning.
It's time to be Maccabees.
Come, Yehuda.
I'm right behind you, Father.
Shimon, Elazar, Yochanan, Yonatan. We will confront this enemy of Israel who seeks to turn us away from God.
Jews of Modin, hear the decree of Antiochus Epiphanes, the king. Bow down as the others of your people have done. Bring sacrifices on this altar and offer praise to the glory of the gods of Olympus. You, Mattathiahu, you and your sons be first to fulfill the command of the king that others of Modin may follow.
Heaven forbid that we should forsake the Torah and the commandments of God, even if every man in every nation were to turn aside from the faith of his father. I and my sons would remain true to the God of Jacob.
I brought a sacrifice. Let me be first.
It's that traitor Jason, the one who first assimilated with the Greeks.
He is worse than the heathens he tries to emulate. You call yourself Jason, but I speak to your soul. Joshua, son of Jacob, stand where you are.
Who's going to make me?
Pay no attention to them, Jason. They are the traitors.
I'm coming.
I can't permit this abomination. Yehuda, give me your sword.
Father, are you sure you...
A Jew who would worship idols has forfeited his life.
No! Mattathiahu, help me.
Return to God. Only he can help you.
I want to, but how?
Proclaim the faith of your people.
Yes. Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem
He's gone.
Quick, my brothers, before their troops can strike.
Save them, men!
Elazar, behind you!
Thanks, Yehuda.
Don't let them escape!
They're running away! Yehuda, we beat them!
After them!
No, son. Let them go. Our real enemy is this heathen altar and the idolatry it stands for. Tear it down! Jews of Modin, we have won a victory, and it is only the beginning. All who are for God and his Torah, follow me!
Mattathiahu and his five sons and the faithful Jews of Modin fled to the Judean hills, where they hid in caves and trained secretly for war with the armies of Antiochus.
Who's there? Demetrius, is that you?
No, it's me.
Calling themselves the Maccabees, they staged surprise attacks upon towns and villages held by the Greek army. Under cover of darkness, they put the enemy to the sword and tore down their pagan altars and idols. Those who followed Mattathiahu fought for Israel with joy. They were Maccabees, and they went forth in battle like lions. The lawless were pursued from one end of Israel to the other. The ungodly were rooted out of the land, and God's wrath was turned away from his people. Glory was once again brought to the house of Jacob, and in the chambers of King Antiochus.
General Lysias, there is something I don't understand. How could it be that this rabble, this moth-eaten band of religious fanatics, could cause me so much aggravation?
True, Your Majesty, they did begin as a handful of zealots, and even then they inflicted great damage with their guerrilla warfare tactics. But now, they've attracted thousands of followers to the hills of Judea, men they call Maccabees, and they willingly offer their lives for this Torah of theirs. They've driven terror into the hearts of our men. They engage us now in open warfare.
My dear Lysias, my army is the mightiest in the world. I want these madmen destroyed. Call forth as many divisions as you need to wipe them out, and place Apollonius at their head.
It will be done, Your Majesty.
Good, Yona. The men are in place.
The Greek battalion should be entering the valley just about now.
It's them. Give the signal to seal off the east end of the valley. They're breaking ranks and running. Now we'll seal off this end. We've got him!
Let's take him!
Maccabees, attack!
General Apollonius and his battalions were crushed. The Jewish army, armed more with courage and faith than military might, won a miraculous victory. It marked the beginning of the end of the Greek Empire. In Jerusalem, however, the situation was as bad as ever.
I don't want you to leave the house by yourself. It's dangerous.
I'm not afraid, Mother.
Well, you should be. The Greeks kidnap women your age. No woman in Jerusalem is permitted to marry unless she first submits to General Holofernes.
There are sick people to attend to, Mother, and there's no one else to help. I must go.
Yehudit, my darling, they killed your father. You're all I have left.
I am the daughter of Yochanan the high priest. I have a responsibility. With God's help, I'll be all right.
Be careful.
Mysias, look at that young woman.
I recognize her. She's the daughter of the high priest who killed Governor Nicanor.
Excuse me.
What?
Did you drop this?
No, I'm sorry.
I got her! I got her! Hey!
The general will pay us well for this beauty.
It was a brilliant victory. We were lions. Lions!
Yehuda.
The Greeks won't forget this day in a hurry.
Yehuda, listen to me.
Oh, my poor Shimon, you're always so serious. A Maccabee has to learn to serve God with joy.
Our father is very sick.
No.
He's dying.
Father! Father.
Yehuda, is that you?
Yes.
Are your brothers? Did you all make it?
We're all here, Father. It was a great victory. It was a miracle.
Come closer. All of you.
Try to rest, Father.
Listen to me, my sons. You are the pride of Israel. You've restored glory to the name of God. Shimon.
Yes, Father.
Be a father to your brothers. Use your wisdom to counsel them well. Yehuda. You've been a mighty warrior since your youth. You shall lead the Maccabees in battle and guide the armies of Israel in times of war and peace. Elazar, Yochanan, Yonatan. There is only one legacy a father can leave to his children he loves so much. King David said it to his children and to all the Jewish people for all time. Be strong and become men, and keep faith with the Lord thy God to walk in his ways.
You know, you're different from the rest. You're not afraid of me.
Should I be?
That depends, Yehudit. What's this food you've prepared for me?
It's made from cheese. I'm sure you like it.
It's very good. But salty.
Here, I'll pour you some wine.
To us. Excellent.
Oh, have some more.
Only if you join me.
All right.
Good. Hey, Yehudit, you aren't drinking.
Oh, yes, I am. See, my cup is empty.
Oh, that's very funny.
More cheese, General. General. Now, if I can get to his sword without waking him. There. General!
Huh? What?
Here's your dessert. Your just dessert.
Oh!
It's a sweet sound, eh, Yehuda?
You can be sure that the Greeks don't prepare for battle by singing the Psalms of David.
Think of it, Yehuda. Almost 1,000 years ago,
the prophet Samuel stood on this very spot and gathered the people together to pray and fast before their victory over the Philistines.
God delivered the enemy into their hands then, and he will do the same for us tomorrow.
Commander Lysias!
What news have you, Celsius?
I've just arrived from the hills overlooking Mitzpah.
And?
The Jewish army camps there with 5,000 or 6,000 men at best.
It's as I told you, Icarus. The Jews this time will be powerless against us.
So it would seem.
Our cavalry alone outnumbers their entire force, and we have 60,000 infantrymen to boot.
And our men are fresh recruits while theirs are battle-weary.
Any further instructions, Commander?
Yes. Join the feasting and the merriment.
Yes, sir.
Tonight, the god of revelry will favor us.
And tomorrow, the god of war will go before us in battle.
Not only do we outnumber the Jews in troops, but in gods as well. Poor ignorant fools have only one.
Maccabees, Antiochus has gathered under General Lysias all his divisions of infantrymen and cavalry, and all his battalions of war elephants. They are many, and we are few. They are mighty, and we are weak. But they are idolaters, and we are servants of the Creator of heaven and earth, and students of his Torah. The battle we are about to fight will be won only by a miracle from God. At the call of the shofar, God will deliver the enemy into our hands.
That day, the Lord God of Israel delivered into the hands of the Maccabees all the swordsmen and archers and cavalrymen of the Greek army. With his troops scattering in retreat, General Lysias dispatched his war elephants against the Maccabees.
Look, Yehuda, atop that elephant! It's Lysias himself! I'm going after him!
Eleazar, no! Eleazar!
Yehuda's warning came too late. His brother was trampled under the feet of the gigantic beast. But the Maccabees prevailed. The enemy who were not slain fled in terror from the small Jewish army.
My brothers, a great miracle has happened here.
When King Antiochus heard that his armies had been decimated, he fled in shame to the coastal cities.
Why has Zeus deserted me? Maybe it wasn't Zeus. Maybe it was Apollo.
Gods of Olympus! Are you listening to me? I am the king! You must obey me! Help me! Listen to me!
Completely deranged, King Antiochus, now a fugitive, cast himself into the sea and drowned.
So, we meet again.
Isn't that the high priest's daughter?
The one we kidnapped?
I brought you a present from the general.
What are you talking about?
What have you got in that sack?
Oh, it's nothing much. Just this.
It's his head!
And Yehudit, daughter of Yohanan, the slain high priest, wandered through the streets of Jerusalem with her bloody trophy held high. The remaining Greek soldiers fled in panic and confusion. And the victorious Maccabees gathered together and went up to Jerusalem to the holy temple, and there they saw the sanctuary in ruins.
Oh, God, what have they done to your house?
The altar had been profaned, the courtyard strewn with rubble and overgrown with weeds, and the priest's chambers pulled down. The sight of the desecration brought bitter tears to their eyes. They tore their garments and fell to the ground and wept. But the weeping soon gave way to great joy as the men of Israel began to cleanse and rededicate the holy temple.
The altar has been profaned. We will build a new one in its place.
Yehuda and his brothers donned their priestly robes and set about to restore the service of the Lord as commanded in the Torah. It was the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislev.
It's time we rekindle the lamps of the menorah. The world has dwelt in darkness long enough.
But Shimon, to light the menorah, we need pure oil fit for the service of God. The Greeks have defiled every last drop.
They searched throughout the chambers of the sanctuary, but pure, undefiled oil was nowhere to be found. Just as Antiochus sought to destroy the identity of the Jewish people, just as he sought to turn the wisdom of God's Torah into merely another school of thought, so his soldiers defiled the pure olive oil to strip it of its holiness.
We'll travel to the orchards of the Galil and press fresh oil.
That will take 8 days. I don't want to delay the service of God even 8 minutes.
What we need is God's help.
Shimon, Yehuda, I found this in the ground outside the Holy of Holies. It's a flask of oil with...
with the seal of the high priest, unbroken. Wait. Oh, this is only enough oil for 1 day. It'll still take us 8 days to reach the Galil, press new oil, and get back to Jerusalem.
I know what we'll do. We'll light a small quantity of the oil each day and try to make it last.
No. We will fill the menorah as it is meant to be, and we will trust in God.
And miraculously, the oil from the one flask burned in the great menorah for 8 days. And the following year, the rabbis decreed that each year, beginning on the 25th day of Kislev, the Jewish people will celebrate the festival of Hanukkah for 8 days with songs of praise and thanksgiving to the God of Israel and the kindling of Hanukkah lights. The Hanukkah menorah is lit after sundown to signify that the light of Torah illuminates the darkness of this world. We begin with one and add another light each of the 8 nights to proclaim the miracles of God to all mankind. Yeshua, 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 Yeshua,